It's bad. Anime.
Did we even do the intro last time? I don't even know if we did.
No, we totally didn't do the intro. Should we do it this time?
Anyway.
All right. Yeah, I'm bartender. I'm John. He's Rob, bartender. So this is another three episode rule we're doing this week because we've been like interested in a lot of new anime. It's the spring season. You know, it's a whole new flair. So let's get into a lot of these shows. We wanted to pick a diverse palette of shows, and I'm glad we did. Kind of last week we did God's Game, which is a little more like action packed y, and now this week we're very much the opposite, doing kind of like a regular old could be a live action show type show, which I love.
Oh, thank you for telling me what order these were coming out in, because I wasn't sure.
Well, there you go.
Hooray. Yeah, no, this is Bartender, Glass of God. Glass of God.
Yes.
I couldn't remember if it was Glass or Glasses of God. No, but Glass of God, originally a manga in the early 2000s. It was previously animated in 2006. I remember reading that.
Oh.
And it was a live action show at one point, too.
Oh, there we go. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, it's in, you know, if we want to go on the trend of modern anime, what the fuck, you could make a joke or two about them reanimating a show that was first animated in 2006. The manga hasn't continued since the original publication. So, they're just taking another swing at
They're just repackaging something that they've already done. Very, very okay. That's all right.
The only thing so far I'm disappointed about is that, because apparently at the end of every episode of the original anime, they would do like a feature, like an actual featured drink, and like a sort of a, like in like a, just do like a step by step instructional video at the end of it, how to make it.
That's so fun. Just like at the end of episodes of Queer Eye, how they have like the guys come out and they're like, "Tell us your favorite t-shirt." And this guy's like, "You got to wear white t-shirts on Fridays." And the other guy's like, "I thought you should wear blue on Fridays." And then they argue and then the episode ends.
Well, it's before or after Labor Day. This is a big
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Yeah. You can't wear brown after Labor Day.
You can't wear white after Labor Day.
Oh, what? You can't? Oh.
That's a very old timey
gauche
thing.
Is that the word for it? Gauche? It's gauche to wear brown, to wear white after Labor Day? What is?
Does it look like I fucking know?
Yeah. Okay. I had some faith in us that we would figure that out between the two of us, but no.
I really appreciate the optimism.
Thank you very much.
You know, I'm not trying to condemn you for believing in us, but you know, again, now it's 11:40 in the morning and we're delirious.
You're right. You're right. We gotta get through this today.
No. I'm enjoying the fuck out.
I'm actually very excited to talk about this one. This was a nice refreshing turn of events from isekais, from fantasy shows, to kind of just a regular old slice of life craftsmanship type anime. And, you know, we actually have a really good connection to this particular show because...
Oh, yeah, that's most of the reason why I picked it.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that you picked it because within the first episode, we realized that, you know, our main character, Sasakura, is a world-renowned bartender. He trained bartending in France and was a big-time bartender, what was like once I think ranked highest in the world or something. So he's a big guy, and he comes back to Japan and he starts working in this bar called Eden Hall. And Eden Hall, this bar is located in Ginza, which is a very ritzy part of Tokyo that we visited. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Eden Hall itself is a small bar under a high-rise.
Yes.
Very small place, very 1950s kind of lounge bar type vibe.
The term they used is counter bar, which I think is the Japanese term for like a lounge bar.
Yes. Okay. So very lounge bar-y, counter bar type vibe. And it compares almost scarily directly to this bar that you and I have been to called Bar High Five. Also in Ginza, also under a high-rise building. Also with that kind of
also in the basement
loungy situation going on.
For any people listening for a long time who know we enjoy a bit of the drop, and but if those who actually like have any knowledge of booze, they would probably at this point be screaming, "What?"
Yep.
Because nothing about our drinking habits on the show would indicate that we would go to one of the classiest fucking counter style bars in Tokyo, but we were there.
Yes, we were, and it was a lovely experience.
It was eight years ago, and I haven't been able to have a cocktail happily since because my God,
neither have I. It was so delicious, and you know, I actually did, which I replied to in the Crunchyroll comments. It was my first first ever use of the Crunchyroll comments. Nice. Somebody, I think, on the third episode of this show said, oh man, I can't wait to go to Japan and like request drinks like this, like based on like custom. And a lot of people were like, oh, I don't think you can like do that. You should probably ask the bartender to like if that's okay first. And I said, hold on. If you do go to this one bar,
just go to Bar High Five.
It's the same thing. And you go there and they ask you what you like and they make a list of what you like and they make you a custom drink. And it's fantastic. It's always really good. Little expensive. So if you're going, you know, be prepared for like a $30 beverage, but it's really good.
Exactly.
It's a splurge for sure, but it's, you know, it's a great environment, great atmosphere. You can't go in more than four people at a time, and lucky for us, we had exactly four people, so we were able to get a table.
Honestly, if you're doing a boys trip to Japan, four people is probably the max you want to do, because after Definitely. That it just gets
it's hard to get served anywhere if you have over four people. Like I had a friend that just went with her like family of eight with like three kids, and everybody in Tokyo was like, no, we are not. Number one, we don't like big groups. Number two, hate children. are those? We don't reproduce anymore over here, so we don't know anything about that.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God. It's a bit of a dick there. I love it.
Yeah, no baby chairs. No, like, high-rise chairs. We don't have those anymore here. Just old people. A lot of old people. But either way, right, so imagine my surprise where on the first episode we're watching this show and they have seemingly the exact setup that we had. Of course, I'm sure there are other bars like that in the neighborhood, right. You know, but for me, that was a very specific, like, experiential tidbit that I was like, wow, that's really fun. And the bartender, of course, they're highlighting, so Sakura is very gifted. He's one of those that can make you a custom drink, and he's always analyzes your expressions. Maybe he knows your job. Maybe he figures out what you do for a living. Maybe he figures out how your day was.
He'll hear your stomach rumbling and you're like, oh, you haven't dined yet. Maybe a martini is not a good idea. But the drink he, I will say my appreciation for booze kicked in hard because that was in the first episode when, because the whole premise here is that these two girls work at a ritzy high-rise hotel. And they're opening a counter style bar within the hotel to complement their other, like, you know,
hotel things.
Exactly. Sorry. Again, I'm just getting bombarded by pizza text.
Pizza text.
But so they're trying to find the bartender for this bar. And like the owner of the hotel is very stringent where he's like,
he needs like the best. Right.
He's like, and we learn later why he is so insistent of having things a certain way. So they find this guy working in the basement bar, and they're wowed because you just sent me a pizza emoji. Just adding to the chaos.
You said you were getting pizza texts. So
I'm getting a number of them now. I'm so excited. Everyone seemed very lukewarm about this until the morning. I was like, let's go.
That's
like,
always how our friends are, though. Every time, like, everybody's like, yeah, I guess I'll come. And then the morning of, they're like, oh, so what time? Oh, my God. What trade do we take? Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Yeah. And it's like, just go back to the group chat.
It's a logistical nightmare.
I made a poll.
You did make a poll, which people answered. It was very nice.
People did answer, thank God.
Very good. But yes, continue. Yes, they're trying to recruit him to work at this ritzy hotel.
Yes, and like their counter style bar. Yes. That's the main point.
And the whole first episode is these two ladies, who one of them is the granddaughter of the owner of the hotel.
Right.
These two ladies are basically just looking for their unicorn.
A bartender. who is suited to the task.
Yeah, right.
Eventually they go into Bar Eden. Because earlier in the day, they find this guy, like, reading a book on Japanese bartending on a bench. And they're like, oh, darn it. And there's a whole plot point where they see him later. And the guy's like, oh, my God. Because, like, they find the book he took out of the library.
Oh, yeah. And they have to return it for him because he left it there.
And so they run into him later. And he's like, oh, my God, by the way, did you see a book? And they're like, yeah, we have it. We'll return it. And he's like, oh, sweet. Thank you. And eventually, somehow they deduce he's in Bar Eden, so they go there.
Yep.
And he's just the most immaculately dressed, perfect bartender. But I do have to criticize the show a little bit, because this is, or the manga, because I understand what he wanted to do with this scene, but it's not actually what he did.
Okay, give it to me.
Because originally, not the granddaughter of the owner of the hotel, but her friend, was like, I'll have a martini. The bartender hears her stomach rumbling and goes, oh, but you haven't dined yet. A martini is a very heavy beverage. Let me make you something different. And I see him grab, because all the booze bottles are actually name brand,
which is really nice, a great touch. And I'm sure it took a while, and it took a lot of
money,
and like the art style. Yeah, it probably took a bit, but it's really nice. It really makes it feel more official.
But the problem is they're not exactly using the most premium brands.
No, right.
Because, you know, I'm sure Smirnoff said, yeah, we'll take that product.
Yeah. They got Smirnoff. They got Tanqueray gin.
Yeah, it's all the classic American stuff. Yes. So to a Japanese viewer, they might be like, ooh, exotic. And we're just like, oh, we'll have anything
else. Remember blacking out on that when I was 18.
Yeah. And speaking of blacking out, instead of a martini, the guy grabs Smirnoff and then he grabs Cointreau. I'm like, is he about to make her a fucking Cosmo? And then he just goes, Cosmopolitan this. And I'm like, that's not a good substitute for a martini.
It is not a good substitute.
You could say it's honestly worse.
Also, another, like,
that shit goes down much easier.
Another kind of hole that I found in this thing, right?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, this guy, Sasakura, which we really get to know in the third episode, which we'll get into in a little bit, is all about making the perfect drink for the customer at the time.
Yes.
And always about pleasing the customer to his best abilities, right?
Yes.
If I go into a bar and my stomach rumbles and I'm like, hey, can I get a martini? If the bartender was like, oh, you shouldn't be having that, you haven't eaten, I'd be like, shut up, mom. Give me a martini. I want a martini.
Let me rephrase that. Douche.
Yeah.
Give me a martini. I was about to say something much worse. Give me a martini or I'm leaving your bar.
Or I'm not going to give you business. Like, what is this? I walked into a bar. You have to serve me what I want.
All right. Okay. Give me martinis and French fries.
And French fries. Yes. Thank you.
I hope your wife hits you.
That's my new favorite insult.
I hope your wife hits you.
Oh, that's great.
By the way, I do prefer my beers the way I prefer my violence, domestic. This is horrible. Okay.
Good God.
Let's abort all these domestic violence.
The worst part
jokes.
About that is that it means Bud Light. Terrible.
Let's see. I got some empty Bud Light cans over there because I do the thing where I save the cardboard from when you buy beers.
Yeah.
I save the cardboard box and I put all the empty ones in there. Oh, it makes it easy to recycle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's stuff other than Bud Light in there. There's only a couple of Bud Lights in there, but there's also like a bunch of empty the Brooklyn, not Brooklyn Lager, they're Pilsner.
Oh, Brooklyn Pilsner.
That's good.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, Brooklyn Brewery makes everything.
I guess they do, yeah. I've never been. You want to go there sometime? I've never been to the actual brewery.
And it's right by Charleston, so absolutely.
Yeah, we should go. That's nice.
It's around the corner. Yeah, why haven't we done this?
I don't know.
Sally's in Stanford has their own Pilsner. it's called Sally's a Pils.
We will, that's exactly what I wanted it to be.
Blackout, everybody, everywhere, blackout, oh, blackout, everybody blacking out.
Bartender show. Wait a minute. So there are, in this show, a lot of situations where we are kind of led to believe that Sasakura is a great bartender, right?
Yes. You
have all these different clients coming in, and he's able to figure out their profession, able to figure out all these things. Kind of like a fortune teller and a bartender at the same time.
Therapist.
This show is, without a doubt, very Japanese. it really accentuates the craftsmanship that goes into bartending. And I know Japan is a country of crafts. People specialize in things. People are very good at doing what they do in a lot of different industries over there. And you are very quick to note that he is very good at what he does, and he's a craftsman. But man, does it get interesting and kind of a little, maybe not boring, but pretentious sometimes when he just keeps... Like, everything that he does is so exact that I'm like, man, just make me a fucking drink. Like, I do not need to...
Pretentious sometimes?
Like, sometimes... Yeah.
That's the name of the show.
Sure, I guess so. But, like, there's a whole scene where he's like, you have to mix the ice just right so that when it hits the lips, it's not as cold as you think you want it to be at the time so that it's refreshing, but at the same time, drinkable and doesn't lose flavor. And I'm like, damn, all right, man. Like, I...
It's like, wow, I really wanted that Manhattan.
I know this is the point of the show, but man, sometimes I'm like, okay, all right, I get it. It's a nice drink. Just give it to the person.
Well, that's the thing. How do I put this? Is it pretentious and snooty? Yes, all counter-style bars are. You're sure. Going in there and spending $35 on a cocktail.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's not for...
You expect some snoot.
Yeah, a ton of snoot. I mean, the fact that I'm a blue collar laborer, I shouldn't be going into these places, but I love slamming my big dick energy on the counter. I'm like, yes, something whiskey in it. I want floral notes and make it refreshing.
Yes,
Do you want a cocktail? Do you want a cocktail glass or a tumbler? I'm just like,
does that mean you glass. Mix it?
Yeah, but then your question was, oh yeah, because that was the question.
Does
at
that
bar
mean
high
you
five.
Shake it?
And the guy was just like. No, it just means if you want ice in it or not.
No, big idiot.
That was your interpretation of it. You've been saying for years. Like, he looked at me and said, no, you big idiot. Does that mean... Because, yeah, the thing... And they animated it in this show. Japanese counter-style bartenders go very hard with the shake.
They do, yes. Yes, they do. And they animated it very nicely, actually, in the show.
It was really well nicely animated, but, you know, it's a fuck... look up a... Udescu Ueno, the owner of Bar High Five. Yes, I remember the name.
Wow.
Because I watched the videos last night about him doing stuff.
That's pretty
and
cool.
And got a stiffy.
Yes, you did.
I have one right now. That's why my speech is so stilted and awkward. I'm thinking about those big masculine hands of that OG Sama. Just fucking abusing that cocktail shaker. Just going to town.
They must run through those so fast.
Yeah.
He must need a new one, like, weekly, how this man shakes.
I think his must be made of titanium in order to withstand the abuse. But here's
probably,
the thing, right?
Probably, like blade metal or something like that, honestly.
Well, the thing is, Bar High Five, they're particular psychos because they get their ice made in a factory to ensure its crystal clarity.
Yes.
And the guy uses his knife, his personal knife, to shave down the ice based on what, you know, where it's going.
Yep.
So he'll specially shape cubes to go into the shaker.
Yep.
It's insane.
Yeah, he even carves it into a diamond for a whiskey glass sometimes.
Yeah, but our buddy Eric just dropped like $90 on like a glass of whiskey just to have Ueno make the ice diamond for him. And Ueno put it like under a light and you could see how crystal clear the ice was. Like there was not a... Because you know how ice usually is like all like the really concentrated in the middle with water.
Yep.
It's like almost like a white in color. It's not transparent at all. This was the opposite, where it was just clear. It was just pure water. It's like, how?
What I like the most about that is that how I got to see it, but didn't have to spend $90 for it. So bring a rich friend if you do go, or a friend that's just very loose with their money.
Exactly. I mean, I dropped a decent amount of money when I went to the Soho Cigar Bar. Which if you're listening, it's a trashy environment. It really is. You think it was going to be a counter-style bar and kind of upscale, but no. It was a bunch of dudes in like track suits and techno puffing away at cigars, not drinking any of the high-end whiskeys on the menu.
Wow.
I had a couple. They had one flight. It was a tour of Japan. It was three high-end Japanese whiskeys.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, the last one was fucking stellar.
Oh, God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Uh-oh. This is turning into a booze cast.
I know.
Again.
And that's part of the reason I like this show, though, because it was... if you are, even if you don't even like cocktails or drinking or anything, I feel like you can also appreciate just kind of the nuance of everything that they do in this show and like how, you know, the drink recipes are actual drink recipes and like how he makes them is actually how you make them. And I just think there's a lot of attention to detail here that's really nice. And although I called it pretentious before, I do think I enjoyed watching it though. Like there were times where I was like, all right, get on with it. But in the general scheme of things, I really enjoy this. And, you know, the third episode, I think, really was the tipping point for me. When he is Sasakura.
When they introduce conflict.
Yes, when they actually give him conflict because he's introduced. He's this big shot bartender, right? But he's introduced to this other big shot bartender called Mr. Perfect, who works at another
hotel. It wasn't Kurt
hotel.
Henning, by the way.
It was not Kurt Henning. No, it was not. He works
would have been
at
a much more interesting show.
Oh, yeah, it would have been. But he works at another hotel, another ritzy hotel. And the owner of the hotel that's trying to recruit Sasakura invites him over to engage in like basically a bartender off with this other guy. Yeah. And he brings his granddaughter in and his granddaughter tells them both to make this same drink.
Manhattan.
Which is a Manhattan. And they both make a Manhattan. And, you know, right, I'm expecting him to lose because I'm like, you know, he's had it too good for too long. But she tries both and she's like, oh, Sasakura. Or, you know, whichever one is Sasakura's. Yeah. She's like, oh, this is the better one. This is really good. And it's Sasakura's. And then Mr. Perfect is like, no, try them again. And she tries them again. She's like, whoa.
Yeah,
the flavor changed.
Yeah.
And Mr. Perfect's flavor did not change because it retained its temperature. Sasakura's did not retain its temperature, meaning that its flavor changed over time with the dilution of ice. So I was like, whoa, what a, like a very specific thing, but what an interesting conflict because The conflict
actually became idealistic.
It did, which is very interesting, and I didn't think this would go.
We wouldn't expect her fucking bartender
I would not expect it, and I liked it a lot. It was like, you know, that's a good message. Like, do you try to make the perfect cocktail, as Mr. Perfect does every time, or as Sasakura does, do you try to cater it to the person that you're making it for? Because Sasakura made that drink because she rushed in there a little sweaty, so he tried to make it a little more refreshing for her. Which at the beginning she liked, but over time changed its flavor and such. So interesting question, actually. Do you make a drink to make it perfect or do you make a drink for a certain customer, right? So, yeah, it was very interesting. Yeah, I was like,
It was a nice touch.
It's a thinker.
It was way more of a thinker than you anticipate. So it was pretty nice to see. Yeah. I'm just like, wow. This show exclusively about booze is making me think about stuff.
It is. And I enjoyed it. And then, Sasakura has a bit of a like mental crisis
anime moment
about that. Yeah. And he like storms out, shows the first bit of emotion that we've seen him show in the whole show, which I thought was really nice.
Other than him being fumbling in the first episode.
Yes. Yes. Other than that. And that's kind of around where the third episode ends, I feel like.
Yes.
There's a little after that, but not much.
Not really, no. It was just more like, well, here we are.
A conversation between him and the granddaughter, and that's about it. And yeah, that's where the three episodes kind of concluded. What'd you think?
It's hard to say because this thing was like way more relaxing than a lot of other stuff we watched.
Yeah, sure.
Which honestly could be the little double-edged sword for me because I enjoyed it, but was I actively engaged? I don't know if I was.
Yeah, were you at any point like bored or indifferent?
It's a great question. Bored's a tough one to say for this one. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I was bored, but I was just zoned out and kind of numb, like, cool, the thing. You know?
Yeah. Okay. I get it.
It was relaxing. I refuse to watch a show without an alcoholic beverage in my hand. So I guess this one leans way more into that kind of brain drainy type thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Where you're like, huh, that's neat.
Yeah.
Time to continue my day.
Yeah, exactly. No, I feel that.
I watched this one was it Sunday night. Yeah, Sunday night I got a case of Happy Dads and then I had two of them. I'm like, I'm content. I'm going to go to bed.
I'm happy. A happy dad.
Not even really that. I was just kind of like, yes, I exist. You know that emotional state where it's not positive nor negative?
Contentment?
Yeah, just contentment.
It's like, good. Okay. Here we are.
Not even that. Just not even like good. Just like, yes, I exist.
Wow. Okay. So very like middle of the road.
Totally.
That's good. Yeah. I think like given how I've talked about the show, it's pretty easy to figure out that I liked it. I didn't. I guess as to the question of if I was bored, I never got bored, but I thought I was going to get bored.
Interesting.
I think it was more like the time of day and how I watched this that was good. Like I watched this just in the middle of the day on a Friday. I was kind of not busy at work and I was at home. So I was just like, okay, nice. Let me just throw this on a little bit just as like a relaxer. Drank some tea during. It was nice for that. I don't know. It was a bit relaxing. So a little like... Exactly what you said, kind of off the beaten path of what we usually cover, but
right.
I liked it enough that I think I'm in. I think I'll continue.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'll continue it. I think it's, you know, it's not really, I'm not watching it for any sort of like, wow, this is incredible and oh my God. It's more for like, oh, this is just like a nice thing every once in a while, like once a week. I'm just going to like hang out for 20 minutes, watch this, relax. It's a good like, as you said, brain drain kind of show where you could just kind of passively hang out. You don't have to be active in any of your viewing. So it's yeah, I don't know. I liked it for that.
No, that's very good.
Yeah.
Didn't pull me in as much.
That's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay.
That's something about that sounds so delightfully condescending. Like, yeah, you're wrong. That's okay.
No. You're not wrong. That's fine. I could easily see this. I feel like if I was watching this.
No, I don't feel that way without context.
Oh, okay. Good.
I can see why people would interpret it that way.
Oh, good. Yeah. No, I just felt like maybe if I watched this at the wrong time, things would be different. But it just was a relaxing day, and it just felt good. I was like, great. You know?
Yeah, no, like I said,
it's a show. I mean, it's not incredible by any means. Like, I wouldn't 5-star it. I'd maybe give it like a good like 3.5. Just like it's a good time.
Don't ask me to implement a star system now. We're far too deep.
Yeah, we are too deep.
I would have to go back through 100+ episodes. Going, oh, okay, what the fuck is a star rating for this?
God, can't wait for episode 200.
Dave Meltzer is my dad.
It's bad.
That's right, everybody. The fun is over today. Thanks so much for clicking on the episode. But the fun does not have to stop here. You can hit us up anywhere that you can find us on Instagram or TikTok at Bad Anime Pod. Or you can even email us to get in touch with us directly at badanimepod@gmail.com. If you got any opinions or you just want to send some hate mail or love mail, we'll take both. We don't care. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and have a great day.
Simple Equations Podcast Network.